Development Agency meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Here.
Board Member O'Malley?
Here.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonsi?
Yes.
And the record will reflect that Vice Chairperson Kelly is absent.
Thank you, Marcia. And do I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Board Member Sturdivant, second by Board Member O'Malley. Let's have a roll call vote on that.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonsi?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Our first item is community forum, and this is for the redevelopment agency only. This is for anybody who has an item over which the redevelopment agency has jurisdiction and that is not on the agenda. Is there anybody that would like to speak tonight? Seeing none, I'm going to close the community forum and bring it back for the consent calendar. And our consent calendar item is the community redevelopment agency meeting draft action minutes. Do I have a motion for approval of the consent calendar?
Yes. Motion to approve. Oh.
Yes.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I did not ask if anybody from the audience would like to pull anything from the consent calendar. I'm going to go back. Is there anyone that would like to pull anything? Seeing none, I will take the motion that was made by Board Member Sturdivant and seconded by Board Member O'Malley. Roll call vote, please.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonsi?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. We have no items on our agenda for public hearing, but we do have a management report on remittance agreement pursuant to California Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2. Staff report, please.
Yes, that would be my responsibility. This is a remittance agreement that's been proposed to you pursuant to California Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2. By way of background, this stems from the state legislature's adoption and the governor's signature of AB 26 and 27, which has been before you previously in terms of other actions which you've taken. One of the actions which you took was to adopt an opt-in ordinance, whereby the city council decided to adopt the ordinance to allow your redevelopment payments in future years of a somewhat lower number. I'm not sure the exact number. Perhaps Rochelle could mention it if she knows, but I think it's going to be something around $400,000 plus or minus. I see Rochelle nodding her head, which is always a good sign. So that is what we would be looking at for the future. So why are we here tonight on this issue? Under Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2, the city may enter into a remittance agreement with the redevelopment agency, pursuant to which the city would be entitled to be reimbursed for that payment that it had made, that so-called remittance payment. And that reimbursement would come from the redevelopment agency pursuant to tax increment funds that would be received by the redevelopment agency. Now, I should mention that there's a limitation on what the city can use those funds for, and that limitation is that the city would have to undertake projects, programs, and activities related to the agency's project goals, including administrative costs of undertaking those projects, programs, and activities. So while the city does get reimbursed by the redevelopment agency from the tax increment for the remittance payment, the city must take the money that it receives under that reimbursement and use it for agency-related activities. So this is all authorized, as I say, under Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2, and that is the series of Health and Safety Code sections that were adopted as part of AB 27. AB 27 is the voluntary program that many cities and redevelopment agencies are operating under at this time, and that allows, as I mentioned earlier in my comments, for the redevelopment agency to continue to perform redevelopment activities provided that these remittance payments are made. Let me also add that there is currently litigation pending before the California Supreme Court that was filed by the California Redevelopment Association and the League of California Cities challenging AB 26 and 27 in terms of their constitutionality. Now, depending upon how the court rules on that challenge, there may or may not be any remittance payments required. If the court upholds 26 and 27, then the remittance payments will be required and this remittance agreement would be in effect. If, on the other hand, the court strikes down AB 26 and 27, then there won't be any remittance payments made by the city. So that concludes my comments on this. Let me say that there is a companion item to this under the city council agenda as well. And under that companion item, since this is an agreement between the city and the redevelopment agency, what I'm requesting now and recommending is that the board adopt a resolution approving the remittance agreement that's in your packet. And then when we get to the city, assuming you do that, to take the recommended action, that when we then get to the city council companion item, rather than to restate everything I've just said, I'll just say, recall I discussed this previously in the redevelopment agency, and then this is the companion item, and I'll describe what the action item would be at that point. So I'm prepared to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Pirick, for a very thorough report. Any questions for either Mr. Pirick or for Rochelle? Seeing none, I'll open it to the public for any public comment on this item. Seeing none, I'll close the public comment and ask for a vote. Do I have a motion?
Make a motion that we the board adopt draft resolution approving remittance agreement pursuant to California Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2 between Atascadero Community Redevelopment Agency and the City of Atascadero.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Board Member Sturdivant, second by Board Member Clay. Roll call vote, please.
Board Member Sturdivant?
Yes.
Board Member Clay?
Yes.
Board Member O'Malley?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you, Marcia. Any board announcements or reports? Seeing none, I'll adjourn the meeting, and it is 6:12.
Thank you. We'll open up our City Council meeting regular session now, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. It was scheduled for Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, who is absent this evening, and Councilmember Clay will take over that responsibility.
Would you join me? Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie.
Here.
Councilmember Clay.
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Here.
Mayor O'Malley.
Here.
And the record will reflect that Mayor Pro Tem Kelly is absent.
Thank you. We the Historic City Hall Project Bid Awards regarding electrical ad alternate. Any member of the council wishing to pull a consent calendar item? Any member of the public? Seeing none, we will bring it back to council for motion.
Make a motion. Move to approve.
Go ahead.
We have a motion by Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. We move on to updates from the city manager.
Excuse me, Mayor and Council, I have several updates. Going to take a couple of minutes tonight. Let me start with our first video on the reconstruction of City Hall, produced by our own Steve Martin.
Wait for the TV audience. Would it be better if some of the lights were down?
I don't really know.
I don't either.
I think I'm having technical difficulties.
Is
Atascadero Administration Building, a double-domed Italian Renaissance structure destined to become the icon for the city. 88 years later, that building was seriously damaged during the San Simeon earthquake. This is the story of how we put it back together.
What's critical here is that we are rebuilding a building that's we're leaving it in place and rebuilding it from bottom up. And the challenge of that is we have to work around all of the existing building elements, do a tremendous amount of stabilization and rehabilitation, and to make sure that the building itself is not impacted at all during all of that work.
Crews work in the hot, noisy confines of the building's basement, drilling more than 200 micropile anchors as much as 50 feet down.
It works with air and water and hydraulics. It creates a lot of water and drilling mud, and just makes a tremendous amount of mud and water down there.
All of this work is the precursor to an amazing feat of engineering vital to the entire project, installing a brand new second foundation under a four-story building of brick and steel.
Once the foundations are stabilized and all these piles are drilled and installed, there is a pile cap, which is really a big concrete footing that goes directly underneath the existing building footings and building foundations. And this pile cap, which is a secondary building foundation, will actually support the original foundation.
It will take workers as long as 4 months to complete this below-ground level first phase of repair. When they're finished, they will have drilled a total of 3 miles into the ground, 3 feet at a time, removed thousands of cubic yards of mud and debris, and constructed a new foundation for the historic Atascadero Administration Building, making it more stable and better able to withstand earthquakes than it was on the day it opened, brand new, in 1918.
Getting a little carried away with the drums there. We intend to have a series of these videos that will keep people alerted to what's going on in the building and have them available on our website, and hopefully we'll get to show those around town very often. The City Hall restoration is still moving along on schedule, and as you saw that micropile and all the 28 people working with mud and water, over the course of installing those micropile deep foundations, the historic Veterans Memorial Building is experiencing additional settlement, which was not unexpected due to the soil conditions we tried to explain to FEMA earlier. As a reminder, after the earthquake, the building was surveyed, and it was determined the entire structure was 7 inches out of plumb in the east-west direction. The additional settlement that's occurring during construction is following the same pattern. So the building's sinking consistently. I was hoping that maybe we could have it sink more on one side and level it out, but that's a city manager dream, not an engineering possibility. So the building is settling uniformly. The bed in the video will be installed, which will be underneath the existing structure, and it'll be grounded to bedrock some 70 feet below. So we're looking forward to this phase, completion of this phase in the City Hall, and it's an exciting project. Pretty messy, but an exciting project. Were you going to have a question, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, I believe we might have some questions on that. And again, to reiterate, once you tie into bedrock, the bedrock is not sinking or settling or moving. We will then anchor the building directly to that bedrock with these pilings, and that will prevent any further settling or certainly reduce or minimize future settling.
That's correct.
Thank you. Questions? Let me go with lights. And Councilwoman Fonzie, go ahead. And then Councilman Clay.
Since the building is continuing to settle and there is some kind of shaking going on that is similar to an earthquake, this leads me to the question, is this liquefaction in action? because I know that that was something that was discussed, that the reason that it sunk was because it's in a liquefaction zone.
Councilwoman Fonzie, I'll try to answer some of that. It's not necessarily due to the vibration, even though there is vibration as part of the generators and the drilling operation in there. It probably has more to do with movement of water through different soil profiles. As they drill these piles, they're pumping in water, and that's forcing the soil and rock to come up out of the drill area. So it's more probably an issue of soil that was dry is getting wet, and it's a typical, almost expected soil condition that causes that settlement.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Clay.
Well, I didn't realize Steve Martin could play the drums that way. That was outstanding. But are we going to have the Leaning Veterans Memorial Building of Atascadero?
Yes, we actually do have the Leaning Veterans Building of Atascadero.
Oh, boy, that sounds really good.
I think Councilman Clay was going to ask if it was leaning to the left or the right.
Depends which way you look at the building.
Okay, thank you.
Let me continue with my updates. A CERT update. You had a presentation at the council meeting last meeting from the North County CERT team. The city is now a partner with them. The fire department was able to craft a partnership with them. Where the transit center, I also want to give you an update. The city's received 90% plans for the downtown transit center from our consultant, Wallace Group of San Luis Obispo. At this stage, the plans are undergoing a final staff review prior to the preparation of construction drawings. The design phase of the project was funded through state transit assistant funds, and this construction of the transit center will be funded through the Proposition 1B transit monies through COG. The construction schedule will be determined by the available 1B bond funds as those become available. There's been some questions on the El Camino Real Bridge. The new bridge is beginning to be unveiled. We have up here the historical picture of the bridge and the picture as of today. As you can see, we tried to mirror the light fixtures. So they're a little different than the regular acorn lights we have on the historic standards around town because the lights were different on the bridge. As you can see. So we've received a few calls, what's going on with the lights and what we were trying to mirror. And as you may remember in the plans that we've been working on for now some time in the streetscape, it showed the historic lights. So they're close. They're not exact, but they're closer than an acorn light. Lastly, let me say that the energy efficient grant project that we talked about before, we've now received the $152,000 federal grant through the California Energy Commission's Energy Efficient and Conservation Block Grant Program. I'm happy to announce that next week construction will begin and the city's grant application proposed projects at Fire Station 1, the Pavilion, the Police Department, and the Wastewater Treatment Plant. The improvements will include the installation of energy-efficient lighting and the replacement of HVAC units at the police station, Fire Station 1, and the Pavilion. The project should be completed by the end of October. The new HVAC units should save us thousands of dollars in energy bills per year. So that's my update.
Thank you. Very good things to hear. I do want to take this opportunity once again to thank Bernard's. I think they've done a very good job managing this project over at City Hall. And Rochelle, I believe we continue to come in under budget on pretty much all bid items, so that's all good news. And I want to welcome.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Mike Hoover. I'm the general manager of Chicago Grade Landfill. As some of you may know, we've been negotiating a contract with the city over the past year. Due to a misunderstanding about the schedule, we alerted some of our neighbors and friends that we might be on the agenda for tonight. So I wanted to make the announcement that our item will be heard on October 11th. And if anyone mistakenly came tonight, we apologize, and that hopefully they can come back on October 11th.
Thank you. Yes, I've received a few calls and emails on that, and thank you for clarifying that. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening. I'm Tom Comar, Atascadero resident and spokesperson for Save Atascadero, formerly opposed Walmart. As reported in the local press, the Atascadero News and Tribune last Friday, councilpersons Jerry Clay and Roberta Fonzi and a Main Street representative attended a small protest rally against SB 4469, a bill waiting for Governor Brown's signature. If a reader wanted to know what the title of the bill was, they would have to have Googled it. This bill is called the, quote, Small and Neighborhood Business Protection Act, unquote. Now, who could imagine that those who purport to be pro-small and local businesses would be against this bill? Even the statewide organization, Small Business California, supports this legislation. This bill is about local decision-making. It allows the city council, staff, and the public to have the facts on the economic and community impacts of superstores like Target or Walmart before the permits are granted. Cities are still free to approve superstore applications regardless of the study's findings. Our environmental impact report that has been done here for the Walmart Annex development touches on the economic impact only so much as it affects, quote, urban blight. Now, this bill requires superstores with 90,000 square feet or more and with sales of 10% or more in non-taxable items like groceries to obtain an economic and community impact report before receiving a permit to build. It allows the city council to choose who does the reports and the developers pay for it. This costs the city nothing. This bill is a result of the many harmful impacts that superstores have had on communities throughout the state and the country, like closure of competing smaller local and change generalized merchandise and grocery stores. A Walmart Supercenter gets 84. By making the requirement apply statewide the way this law does, it ensures fairness to all those cities that want to do their due diligence by studying the economic and community impacts of these stores. So I urge all of those who support small businesses to call, write, or fax Jerry Brown to sign off on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, City Council and staff. Lee Perkins from Atascadero, and I'm here tonight as the president of the Democratic Club, and I am addressing what I'm going to say to the people of Atascadero. I know that many of us, unfortunately, have a son, daughter, other family member, friend, or neighbor that are out of work or underemployed for the last 3 years. It is a difficult time for many of us. The recession has directly affected all of us. It is time to put America back to work. I know you feel this way whether you are a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or Green. You may not have voted for our president, but whether you voted for him or not, he recognizes that we all need jobs. And his jobs bill will put thousands back to work and or save jobs. I have heard many in the last year saying we need to take to the streets. This is your opportunity to join us for a peaceful demonstration to support putting Americans back to work. Tuesday, October 4th, from 12 to 1 p.m. at Representative Kevin McCarthy's office right here in Atascadero at 5805 Capistrano. That's right across the street from by the bridge from the City Hall. Be present to show your support. Our president has said he cannot do it alone. It takes all of us from localities across the nation to let our voices be heard for jobs for Americans. Bring your homemade signs. Put Americans back to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. Steve Martin, Main Street Tourism, part-time drummer. Pleased to be here tonight to bring you up to date on some of the activities that will be happening in the next couple of months in the city of Atascadero or nearby. Coming up this weekend, we have the big Save of the Central Coast event. We have about 36 local residents and people of city staff participating in putting that presentation on at the Santa Margarita Ranch. We will probably have the largest display area of anybody exhibiting there this weekend. We've had two crews stuffing signature Atascadero tote bags that will be given away as part of our presentation. We have about 20,000 pieces of literature promoting the city of Atascadero and its Atascadero as part of Save of the Central Coast. We are on time and on budget for this event, and we are very excited, although a bit fatigued, as we prepare to head into the weekend. A week after that will be the 38th annual Atascadero Colony Day celebration downtown. We will have the pancake breakfast from the Lions Club early in the morning, of course, the parade, all the activities in the park, and our tent city happening on October the 15th. We invite everybody out to take part in that. 2 weeks after that, we'll have the Main Street Halloween Ball, October 29th, with our partner, the Colony Inn. Tickets are available from Atascadero Main Street board members and from several locations downtown. This is a major fundraiser for Main Street. October 31st is a Monday. On that afternoon, downtown merchants will be open and handing out candy for safe trick-or-treating for people with young children. There'll be a bounce house, there'll be music, and a haunted house on October the 31st, so we invite people downtown for that. Coming up in November, we have the Downtown Holiday Lighting Contest, which will extend through December the 2nd, which will be the holiday lighting ceremony downtown and the next art and wine tour for downtown Atascadero. And then the week after that will be Winter Wonderland. So a lot of things coming up between now and the end of the year. We invite everybody watching and listening in to join us in Atascadero for all these activities, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I think you did your usual job of anticipating every question and answering it. Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Thank you.
Welcome. Next speaker.
Good evening, Council. Before we start the clock, just a procedural question. Are we going to be allowed to speak to the items on the management or the management reports?
You can speak on any item not on the agenda or that has not had a public comment. So go ahead.
Thank you.
You're talking about the management report earlier?
The grand jury report is...
Oh, well, the grand jury report is on the agenda later.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I would be able to speak to that.
If later,
not,
yes.
I would have to revise my comments here at forum. So, anyway, my name is Mike Brenler, and I'm a 30-year resident of Atascadero and former member of the council. And I wanted to revisit the issue of the vacation accrual. That's in violation of the city personnel rules. I've brought it up before several times. Certain questions that I've asked publicly haven't been answered. I know that Judy Gray, requested it to be on the agenda last meeting. Apparently it was not placed on the agenda this meeting. And I also concur that it should be an agenda item with the large leave balances. Department heads are responsible for reviewing the department leave balances on a regular basis. Subsection C reads, employees shall cease to accumulate vacation once their accrued vacation balances has reached 2 times the current annual accrual. Further accumulation of vacation leave shall not occur until the employee's vacation leave balance falls below the maximum amount that can be accumulated. That said, now let's review the accrual overages that I recently detected in the leave balance reports. The city manager has 1,233 hours of vacation leave. 673 of those hours are over the limit. The assistant to the city manager has 1,273 hours. 935 are over the limit. Director of Administrative Services, 922 hours, of which 602 hours over the limit. Director of Community Services, 1,122 hours, of which 803 over the limit. And one employee has a staggering 2,006 hours over the limit. Collectively, that's almost $236,000 in an unfunded liability that has occurred because you're violating Section 15.2. Now, since the problem was identified 5 months ago, these five employees have accrued an additional $15,500 in violation of the personnel rules. That's how quick these dollars are adding up. And I ask, how can you justify that? How can you justify that? A few weeks ago, you were talking about having the kids' sports programs have to pick up $15,000 to subsidize the increase in the water rates. And yet you allow this to go on. It's tragic. It's not fair.
Thank you, Mr. Brenler. Welcome. Next speaker. Seeing no one approach, we'll close community forum, bring it back to council. And I know there are a couple of questions raised. Mr. Hoover mentioned that I believe the October 11th agenda will have an item regarding the Chicago Grade Landfill. Could you, that may or may not be on the agenda. We'll have to check. Could you clarify that?
We haven't actually set the agenda, so Mr. Hoover knows more than I do about the agenda. We anticipate that we will have completed the work and be prepared.
Going to be part of a comprehensive review that's scheduled for next year, I believe.
That's correct. The vacation accrual issue is part of your personnel rules, as Mr. Brendler has stated, and so we will be reviewing it with the update of the personnel rules. However, as we've mentioned now a few times, you are not in violation of the section of your personnel rules. That section is really set aside. We have not, in over 20 years, enforced that section of the code. And so the attorneys, the city attorneys, and frankly all the special personnel counsel that we have used have advised us that we can't enforce that rule because the rule has not been enforced. And so in essence, each of the employees has the right, if you will, to accumulate to the top employee, the 2,000 some hours that Mr. Brendler spoke about. The City Council directed for us to work on that issue. As you can see by the numbers Mr. Brendler just did, it is a very difficult issue to work on because we are very skinny in all of our departments. So the finance staff worked all weekend from 9 in the morning till 1 in the morning the following day, both Saturday and Sunday, and it's difficult for me then to tell them to take off Thursday and Friday so they could work all weekend long. And it is just a difficult time to do that. We're going to review it at the next Finance Committee meeting to look at options that we can for capping that. In the past, as we have mentioned in our financial strategy and in our discussions, accrued numbers that Mr. Brendler has pointed out have not impacted us. We have been able to cover those costs within our current personnel budgets, and so it didn't make sense to try to budget a special extra fund to cover those liabilities when they weren't exceeding our budgeted expenses. So we have a variety of options that the Finance Committee can look at, potentially adding money to the budget so that they would have an opportunity to require or push more. You can't require vacation, but to push more vacation and encourage those folks. And we will be looking at that issue in the update of the personnel rules to see if there is a better way or another way to cap the addition of those accruals. But you simply can't take.
So we can get a date for the Finance Committee out there so Mr. Brendler can have this issue resolved.
Thank you. Councilman Clay.
Just a question, I guess, for the city attorney or for you, Wade. Can you make someone go on vacation? Can you order them to go on vacation legally?
Not to my knowledge.
Right. And can you legally take vacation time away from a person?
Well, under the facts as they've been presented here, the answer would be no.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other comment or questions, we'll move on. And we do want to let folks know if you do have questions, you can do like we do. I get hundreds of emails and phone calls, and I usually send those on to our city clerk, Marcia Torgerson, because she can then triage and get the questions to the right staff to get the best answer. Obviously, some questions have a short clarifying answer, like what item may be on a particular agenda and how to find out what is on a future agenda. Others have more complex answers, and it takes a little bit of time, and we will work away at those. So again, thank you for your comments. We'll move on. We have no public hearings tonight. We'll move on to management reports, and the first is response to the grand jury report. I believe our city attorney will make this presentation, Brian Pierick.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, the proposed item is for the council to approve the response to the grand jury report. By way of background, on January 7th of 2011, The city and former police chief James Mulhall entered into a settlement agreement, which is in your packet. And under that settlement agreement, the city and Mr. Mulhall agreed to mutually terminate his employment with the city. The agreement, as required by law, became effective 7 days later, which was January 14th of 2011. On January 19th, 2011, the city provided a copy of that settlement agreement to a party who had submitted a public records request, and the city also issued a press release to some 19 members of the press, which included a copy of the settlement agreement. And that is attachment one in your packet. On June 16th, 2011, the grand jury transmitted a report to the court. There were some five findings. The first finding was, and I'm quoting, there was no violation of law or other improper action by the city manager of Atascadero in negotiating and signing a mutual agreement to terminate the employment of the former chief in accordance with Section 3A of the former chief's employment agreement. The second finding was that the City of Atascadero's announcement on January 7th, 2011, that the former chief of police resigned his position in order to spend time with his family, omitted any announcement of the fact that the former chief had at the same time signed a settlement agreement with a settlement of $126,000. And that is a fact, and that was one of their findings, and that was not in dispute. The third item, the third finding of the grand jury was that the city manager released the settlement agreement only in response to a public information request. Now, in the packet, you have the proposed response by the city to the grand jury report, and it's on a form that was provided by the grand jury. And in that response, and I'll just summarize it for you, we acknowledged that in their finding number one that they had found no violation of the law by the city. And with respect to finding number three, we did include some information here in order to complete the response. With respect to the fact that the settlement agreement was released only in response to a public information request, that is true as far as it went. However, the city went beyond just releasing the settlement agreement to the party who had requested the settlement agreement, and in fact, released that settlement agreement to some 19 members of the press through that press release. So we believe that that provides a more complete picture of what occurred with respect to the release of that settlement agreement. Finding number four was that the city's partial and sequential disclosure of the circumstances surrounding the mutual agreement to terminate the employment of the former chief exposed the city to media and community complaints about a lack of transparency from the city. Now, in the response to this finding number four, there were a number of points that are made as shown in the response before you. First of all, we mentioned that the city did, in fact, release the settlement agreement on January 19th, which was only two business days after that agreement became effective, which we must consider in this entire process. And further, that the settlement agreement sets forth in full the terms of the separation of James Mulhall from his employment with the City of Atascadero. The fifth and final finding was that a disparity exists between Section 5B of the former chief's employment agreement and what the grand jury learned was the actual evaluation process of the former chief received. This had to do with the number of annual evaluations that he had received. There were two recommendations by the grand jury. The first one was that the City of Atascadero should review and consider an appropriate revision to the process by which its personnel decisions are disclosed to the public, and that recommendation relates to findings 2, 3, and 4. In response to that recommendation, we did indicate in the response that the city will review and consider an appropriate revision to the process by which the city's personnel decisions are disclosed to the public, consistent with all applicable laws. In regard to the time frame, we indicated that this review and consideration process is ongoing. The second and final recommendation by the grand jury was that the city should review the possible risk it is exposed to by a disparity between an employment agreement that requires the city manager to provide a written annual review and an actual practice that does not conform to this provision. That relates to finding number 5. And in our response to that recommendation, we indicate that the city is conducting a review of the personnel rules and regulations, which will include the periodic performance review issue. And we expect that the rules and regulations will be presented to the City Council for discussion and action during the fall of 2011. So that is the proposed response. The recommended action is that you approve the response. I'm certainly available to respond to any questions you may have on this.
Thank you. Any council questions? I will open it up to the public. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. My name is Mike Brenler. I just wanted to point out on page 2 of the grand jury report, I want to read some excerpts that I think give pause and hope that they're going to continue to investigate this matter. And this is the following is read from their report. During the course of its investigation historically to a future grand jury. So there's hope that the grand jury intends to revisit some of the peripheral issues. And I certainly, if any member of the grand jury is listening, would implore them to do so. Some things that still remains a mystery to me is this matter of the discrepancy between the settlement amount of $126,000 and the contract language, which specified 6 months' salary and benefits. 6 months' salary and benefits would have placed that figure around $99,000, yet the city paid $126,000 plus benefits and accrued leave, which ultimately was an amount of $161,000. And I've asked this question before here at the lectern, and since you won't answer in public or here in public, I've also posed that question by email. And you commented, Councilmember Fonzie, that I've asked questions 10 times. Yeah, that's how many times I have to ask, but they're not answered. They're not. They're not answered. Anyway, I don't anticipate I'll receive an answer tonight. Perhaps the grand jury will help me get to that bottom of that. Why no explanation? Why not just explain what the discrepancy is between the $99,000 and the $126,000? It could be settled very easy. If you don't answer questions, people are led to believe, or they become suspicious, and they think there may be some type of malfeasance. So that's all I'll say about that tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, next speaker.
Tom Comars, resident of Tascadero. I just have a funny feeling that this is sort of the cart before the horse or something. This response was due on the 14th. I'm wondering why the council didn't have a chance to take a look at it and study it and have the public comment it before that response went in. The response has already been sent in, is what I'm guessing, by July 14th. To the Superior Court judge. I'm wondering why it was done that way rather than brought up before. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council on this item. I think the last question by Mr. Comar might be the easiest. There is a formal process for responding to the grand jury. Would the city attorney like to comment on our response process?
Yes, the response in some way or should be revised. We believe that it is complete and accurate as it is written, but that's an option available to you.
Okay, thank you. Other council questions or comments? Councilmember Clay.
Questions about personnel matters are difficult at the best, and for the protection of the, of our workers, why some of these questions just can't be answered. Is that not right?
There are rights to privacy with respect to personnel issues, yes, that should be respected by any employer, whether you're a public employer or a private employer. There are privacy rights of the employees that should be considered when making whatever decisions you're making with respect to to those employees.
Thank you.
And Mr. City Attorney, in responding to the grand jury, of course, we were invited to talk with them. I'd like to talk about that to some degree, if I may.
My recollection is that that you may have been admonished by the grand jury that the interview was to be confidential. So the public process of this is the one that we're seeing here, that the grand jury issued its report and the city to submit a response. But my advice is that you would not discuss the testimony it gave to the grand jury.
And so I think that is one of the dilemmas with personnel matters is I know we responded, apparently, according to the grand jury, by the rules, and we certainly had a lot of questions that the council would like to have responded to the public, but we were following the personnel rules. I guess there's some irony with the grand jury because as they often in cases like this admonish persons to be open and transparent and communicate timely. Of course, there are some rules about speaking with the grand jury that you can't talk about it. So I guess those there's a parallel to be drawn that it's puts us in a tough position to be able to respond as much as we might like then in some cases. But we will follow the rules. That's part of our job. And I was very pleased to hear that the grand jury did find that we did it right. And we're going to next management report, remittance agreement pursuant to California Health and Safety Code, sections 34194.2.
Well, this will be a deja vu all over again. You recall that during the redevelopment agency's meeting, I described to you the remittance agreement that was being recommended pursuant to Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2 and how the redevelopment agency would be able to reimburse the city for its remittance payment. And I said that at that point I was not going to repeat everything I said before, so I'll just honor that promise and not repeat it all again. I think it was not, you know, it was early enough in the program and we're not too late yet, so hopefully it's still fresh in everybody's mind. But certainly I'm here to answer questions if there are any. The proposed recommendation is to adopt a resolution approving the remittance agreement.
Thank you. And you were thorough earlier. We had the exact same information presented during our redevelopment agency meeting, and we took action. And so if any members of the public weren't present at that time earlier and you have any questions, you can certainly ask them during our public comment time. With that, are there any council questions on this item? We'll open up to the public. Any public questions on this item? Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment and bring it back to council.
I'll make a motion that the council adopt the draft resolution approving the remittance agreement pursuant to California Health and Safety Code Section 34194.2 between Atascadero Community Redevelopment Agency and the City of Atascadero.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Councilwoman Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Clay. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Excuse me. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
4-0, motion passes.
Thank you. Moving on to next item, stormwater regulations update. I believe our Public Works Director, Engineer Russ Thompson.
Thank you, Mayor O'Malley and Council. Tonight, I just wanted to give you a brief update of recent occurrences and what's happening in the way of stormwater regulations. As you're aware, over the last several years, we have been actively pursuing with the Regional Water Quality Control Board our stormwater management plan. And it's been a great deal of staff time and going back and have gone together and are jointly trying to come up with actual hydro modification criteria, and it's a, for lack of a better term, it's the technical standards that are going to be applied to projects, the way we operate, and it'll become kind of the technical backbone of future standards for drainage rules and regulations. So we're actively involved in that. David Athey on the staff has been attending monthly technical advisory committee meetings with a large group of engineers from throughout this county, Santa Barbara County, Monterey County. And we're actively involved in that group, trying to stay abreast of what's happening and staying on top of what the latest procedures are. We've joined the Statewide Stormwater Coalition. This is a coalition of over 48 public entities that are banding together to try to work with the state and fight some of these unnecessary regulations to try to lessen the impact on the city. So the latest thing is the State Water Resources Control Board. Given all that we've gone through over the past 4 or 5 years, the State Water Resources Control Board has now come out with new draft Phase 2 general permit conditions, which essentially would say, you know, we're going to change all those rules that made you implement your stormwater management plans. We're going to change all those rules now. So here it is. We haven't even completed our initial 5 years of our swamp process. They're talking about changing those rules. It would completely supersede our swamp document, and it would involve additional cost as far as how we operate and businesses in town, what they have to do in the name of stormwater control. So who's fighting this? There's a large growing effort to say, you know, when is enough enough. California League of California Cities is actively fighting these regulations. California State Association of Counties, essentially every city in this county, Monterey County, San Luis Obispo County. As I said, there's 48 public agencies that are actively banding together fighting these regulations. The biggest issues are just additional cost. There seems to continue to be a disconnect between tangible, documented problems in the storm. We've reviewed the proposed standards. We've written a letter to the State Water Resources Board opposing them. We've joined in the State Water Stormwater Coalition, or Statewide Stormwater Coalition, and we'll continue to try to stay abreast, keep you informed of what's going on and how we might urge our legislators to fight against these and come up with more reasonable stormwater standards. Along those same lines, as far as while I was doing the stormwater update, I did also want to update you on the basin plan. Several of you attended the Regional Water Quality Control Board basin hearing where they did the third and final amendment of the basin plan back in May. Since that time, we have been working with the regional board staff, making good progress on a new memorandum of understanding between us and the regional board for us to be allowed to regulate septic system construction. So we've made good progress on that. We've worked through the outline of the memorandum of understanding and the concepts for the on-site wastewater management plan and been making good progress. So we're happy with the outcome of the meeting and the efforts that we put in at that state or the regional board hearing. That plan was scheduled to be at the State Water Resources Control Board for adoption. So the local board had to approve it, and the state was going to have to review and approve that document. That was scheduled for October 4th of next week. Mysteriously, it was pulled from the agenda, and we found out just within the last few days that is because there is new statewide standards in the works that, again, just like in the stormwater realm, they're talking about developing statewide standards that will supersede those basin plan standards. So it's frustrating, you know, because staff and this council has put a lot of effort into both stormwater and basin plan planning and trying to, you know, stay on top of these regulations. It appears that the state is just like they did in stormwater, are going to do the same thing in the basin plan requirements, and they're going to develop statewide standards that supersede all that. So we're not sure at this time. Well, again, we'll keep you informed of you know, wind part of the clean water, federal clean water standards. So they are going above and beyond those. So it's, yeah, it's an extra layer of regulation.
Councilmember Clay.
Yeah, my issue is second units in regards to the memorandum of understanding, the MOU. You know, we pushed for second units on one acre or more. Where there's not sewer, was that maintained?
Yes. That the regional board staff was supportive of leaving that in as long as we could show that we were looking at the technical issues surrounding those second unit issues. So, yeah, we feel good about that remaining in there and not being in jeopardy.
Okay, so what you're saying is some of the other parts are in jeopardy?
Well, part of that on-site wastewater management plan, we are going to have to increase, you know, some of the things that that we do is going to become a little more complicated. But at least, you know, we'll have control of those and we'll be able to see that it's just not meeting some mysterious standard, that it's really a tangible result or criteria that is reasonable for our area.
Because there's, 48 other entities that are involved in this, do you think that, and the economy is such that pressures might make them back off a little bit on this stuff?
I suspect there is, you know, all agencies, there's a lot of legislators that are probably hearing a lot about these water quality standards and the effect that they're having on local agencies like us
financially.
In this time. Financially, absolutely. It's all about cost.
Right. Thank
and
you.
And unfunded mandates.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant.
Hey, Russ, is there any justification that they've given for why they're going above and beyond the standards which we already have been working on and the costly standards that they're trying to implement?
You know, it seems to me that maybe there's problems, you know, that they have dealt with in other areas of the state that are certainly worse than the water quality conditions that we have, and they're trying a one size fits all, you know, worst case kind of regulations, without looking at the financial impacts of on a, you know, smaller entity like ourselves. For instance, you know, monitoring the water quality, high levels of toxins or pollutants in our creeks. And so, but these standards would force you to test it and monitor it as if you had a known problem. So while we all support, you know, water quality and we want to protect our creeks, you know, if we're trying not to, we want to respond to problems that, you know, we have, not problems that we don't have, and just this, you know, one size fits all regulation.
Yeah, and I've seen that one size fits all in a lot of things doesn't really work well that way. So it's best to have the local be able to have decision making here, be able to look at problems we have, address the problems we have, and be a little more you know, effective when it comes to our finances and being able to regulate what we do and be able to afford it. So
yes,
thank you.
Were you done with your report?
Yes, that was it.
Okay, other council questions. I had a suggestion, and you may have already done this because you guys have been on top of this item, but my brief 1 year on the Water Board, we had a regular visit from a member of the State Water Board would come and was a liaison to our Central Coast region and was assigned to kind of keep up in touch with things going on at our local region. And I wonder if it would be helpful to talk with her about our particular basin plan, since it now may be under a higher ruling, and get a feel for how they might approach our work. Because when we made our presentation to the Water Board, I think they were surprised at how much work we had done, and I think we can thank E.G. Lewis, the way he set up the original water company with the water rights that we have had monitoring of our water wells for 90 years, zero nitrate levels, the primary concern of much of this effort, and we have a number of things in place that exceed the results they're trying to achieve. So I would hope that this would be considered, and maybe we could work on that together. Or I think it might be worth getting her impression of how the state board would look at such an item anyway, and get a heads up. Other comments by council? I'll open up to the public. Anyone from the public wishing to speak on this item, stormwater regulations? Seeing no one approach, we'll close.
Yes, I wondered if perhaps the council would be well advised to make a thank you letter to Greg Hines. He is giving $100,000 through the Hines Foundation to our local library. And I've also heard that he'll be donating approximately $20,000 towards our veteran memorial new sign that will go on the corner of Portola and Morrow Road.
I think that's at least worth a letter. Yeah, very good suggestion. And if we could personally deliver it. I know he has been very active in many communities, but certainly ours in many ways. So,
and I have a second item. One of the things that I wanted to review and have been going through some of the regulations that Atascadero has. I've had some concerns because of past issues regarding fence heights in front yards. There's been a problem in the past because there's been complaints made against certain people because their fence was considered to be too high. I'd like to bring this back to the council in the near future, if possible, if the council agrees that we put this on the agenda to review the fence height ordinance, which allows, I believe, 3.5 feet to be the height of your fence. I have a big black lab, and he could step over that with no problem at all. And I think that it is a source of code enforcement issues.
Is this something that could be addressed by the design review committee, where you have council and planning commission? And is that, or would it be, it would need to come back to council in any case for a change, but would that be a good place to have the discussion, in your opinion, council?
I think design review committee would be a good place to start, yes.
I would agree. I think the council right now has bigger fish to fry.
Mm-hmm. Do staff have any thoughts on that?
We would agree that the design review committee would be a good place for them to ferret out and see if there's really interest. This it is a zone code amendment, so it would require staff time to develop such an ordinance, such a revision.
So by consensus, we could ask staff to schedule that for design review committee?
Yes.
I think we have that support.
Very good. And one last thing. I think the council members have received a letter from the owner of Tasty Freeze regarding some property behind there that was an old motor hotel and has been apartment buildings and is now occupied by homeless, and there's been some crime issues and so forth. I just wanted to know if this...
Anticipating needs, once again. Councilwoman Fonzie, anything else? Okay. Other council members? A couple things I will just mention. It was a heck of a lot of fun to attend an ALPS, Atascadero Land Preservation Society, dedication of the Davis property. They were able to purchase some well over 100 acres out Highway 41, part of a historic area that kind of connects the Eagle Ranch with Los Padres Forest, and it's going to be a great opportunity for trails. And I was asked to speak for a brief moment, as many folks were. I didn't have a chance to change out of my character. I was portraying E.G. Lewis earlier in my 1914 E.G. Lewis suit, so I did reminisce about in Boy Scouts, we used to take that hike from Eagle Ranch all the way to Los Padres Forest, and that once again could be an opportunity for our whole public. So good job by ALPS on that. Also, I'll be attending the Alzheimer's Walk this Saturday, and that will be held registrations at 8:30 on Saturday, and they will be doing a walk opening ceremony at 10. Following that, most of the council, I believe we will all be at the SAVOR event and representing our city with being at a great booth. Steve Martin has diligently put together, I think, all community.
Where's the Alzheimer's Walk?
What's
Where
that?
Is the Alzheimer's Walk?
Did you forget already, Jerry? It's at the lake.
Thank you.
Want me to pick you up? But right afterwards, we'll go out to Santa Margarita Ranch for the Saver event. And I did want to remind Councilwoman Fonzie, she may want to join City Clerk Marsha Torgerson, and I will be going to the 100th year anniversary for Women's Right to Vote, which will be going on October 10th. There will be a recognition of all currently elected women, and I think it'd be especially good for you to be there. I will be also in my E.G. Lewis attire with Mabel Lewis, and we will all be participating. As you know, our founder E.G. Lewis was a strong advocate for that. I do think I have an extra brochure for each council member, so make note of that. And that is it for laid out, and we do make every effort to respond.
And certainly I read the other cities, and I think we do a good job, and we try to answer questions that are easy to answer, and the ones that need research, why certainly Marsha can do that. But can we put that to bed, that we're all okay with this one?
I agree with you. I think the wording is sufficient. It gets the information out across, and we are open to, we will answer things as we can in a short manner, but we cannot get into discussions because it wouldn't be fair to the people who aren't here. So we do adhere to the Brown Act, and it's very important that we do. So I agree. I agree with you, Jerry.
So everybody agree?
I'm okay with that, too.
Okay. Hey, I think we are going to stick with the current process then. Thank you for bringing that up. Other announcements before we move on to committee reports? Okay, let's move on to committee reports. I'm down first. I will not report on City Schools Committee, as Councilman Sturdivant was there and does a better job reporting than me. The County Mayor's Roundtable, I think I may have been brief before, but we were able to host that our city's turn last time, and I hosted it out at our Lake Pavilion, and we did a tour of our zoo with all the mayors, and Alan Baker, our zoo director, did an outstanding job just representing us and that great tourism asset we have. Also, I want to commend our park staff for just doing a great job of having everything all dressed up out there. We showed our area off well. And, of course, the San Luis mayor is a regular visitor of our zoo with her grandchildren, so we appreciated that support. The other committee I am on is the Integrated Waste Management Authority. We had a little confusion last council meeting. We had some folks from IWMA here thinking they were going to make a presentation. We had a bit of confusion because the IWMA director had been on vacation the week before, and just as he got back, our city manager had some emergency medical things to attend to, and we didn't communicate that as clearly as I would have liked, and I take responsibility for that. But nevertheless, we're trying to make sure we discuss the issue before IWMA as much as we could. We've done a couple more discussions than most cities, but I did want to actually vote on in November. The first reading will be in November, and with an ordinance, you have two readings with opportunity for public input before an ordinance takes place. So the first reading will be in November, and probably the second reading in January. Up to now, it's been working drafts, and I supported the last staff effort, the draft that came before the Waste Management Authority Board, mainly because the staff did a very good job. I commended them for listening to community input. I was very much opposed to this ordinance even coming up for consideration the first couple of meetings that this came up. But staff really, with some extra work at Integrated Waste Management, listened to a lot of community input, a lot of business input, and did modify it considerably, and I wanted to recognize their effort in that.
I did bring it up at a couple council meetings and brought it up at the last mayor's meeting, and there was some discussion. A number of the cities were concerned about this ordinance. I certainly would have liked to have more time for community input, something Frank Meacham and I argued for, but we didn't get more. We did want to make sure that each jurisdiction within the region had an opportunity to vote up or down on this. Now that it's in a final stage, we could certainly have it presented at one of our council meetings and we could consider that. And I will offer that as a suggestion after I make a few more comments. I did want to share with you my opinions at this point. Often we don't have as much process. Every now and then you have a topic, whether it's Walmart or plastic bags, that just gets vetted a lot. There's a lot of discussion. We've had a number of meetings, a lot of research. And so I think part of being open and transparent is when you've heard as much as I have had and you start to come to some conclusions, I want to share those thoughts that I have so that you can better influence me when I have to make a future decision. And there are a lot of issues on this particular ordinance. And I'm just going to go through a few little topics pretty briefly and just offer my thought of what some of the issues are. One, I normally am an advocate for local decisions at a site, and I'm not as concerned about the health issues. I think those have been addressed. I was concerned about the retail businesses being able to implement any change in ordinance, that there wouldn't be enough time, but they have addressed that issue. I'm concerned about the consumer education. Well, I will entertain it, though that is out of order for a member of the public, but please state your concern.
For committee reports, that you're going way beyond the scope of what's intended for committee reports. I speak based on my previous experience. I think you're going way beyond the scope of what
Thank you.
Designed for.
I'll ask our city attorney if I'd like to continue on, and then we will I will ask council consensus about whether we should bring it back for a discussion.
It's my understanding, Mayor, that one of the purposes of your comments was to inquire of the council if they had an interest in this matter being set on a future agenda item.
Yes.
So perhaps now might be the time or soon to have that, to make that inquiry.
Yes. Well, let me mention there's two other factors that I think might want to consider that I'm very concerned about that would be difficult to support this item, and that has to do with some market issues and timing. And with that, I will just suggest a couple of options. We could, if council would like, to have a presentation on this, agendize it, and have a thorough discussion again about this and provide input prior to the November 1st reading, or you could feel that you've already heard enough, read enough, and are comfortable with going ahead and allow the public process to occur at the regional board level. So is there a preference by council?
I've got my number up.
Thank you, Councilman Clay. You're following our protocol. Councilman Clay.
Okay. We've dealt with this twice, and overwhelmingly, the answer was no, and it's loudly. Our people have emailed us, and...
I'll take that as...
Okay, hold on. Don't cut me off. I think it's, if in fact they go through with this, why, if the people are so upset about it, we can always get an initiative. We did that with the creek setbacks, and our council had to rescind the creek setbacks. That's a possibility. I'm not in favor of it coming back again. As far as I'm concerned, we've spoken. The
That's
people
fine.
Have spoken. And and I'll reserve a few more comments later.
Sure. Well, I think that's the question I would bring up is, do we want to schedule this for further discussion at a council meeting? And Councilman Clay is saying no. And no. Then I have...
No, no.
Councilman Sturdivant, then Councilman Fonzie.
Yeah, November is only 2 months away. And where I feel the ball was dropped was basically in the public, because a lot of people this is going to affect, and nobody has an idea as to why this is coming down, what the issues are that are driving this. And so I don't believe that's enough time to get the public really educated as to what's going on. And we were pretty clear as to what we as a council had our opinion was on this. So I agree with Jerry. I would not want to see this come back to be agendized.
Okay, that's two. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Unfortunately, this is not a local issue. This is a regional issue. This is not something the council can make a decision on. It is going to the IWMA, not to the city council. So I don't see that it's particularly to the public's benefit to put it before us if we can't really vote on it. It's a waste of their time and ours. So I would say no.
Thank you. So I think and I'm going to defer to, since I did speak so much, I'm going to give Councilman Clay the opportunity to speak a little more, but I am going to follow the direction of city attorney. I got enough direction there. We didn't have a consensus to put this on a future agenda. Councilman Clay, a last thought on this?
Yeah, just, they talked about individual stores that want to do this. To me, yes. if the individual stores want to do this, then let them have at it, and then the customers can move around any way they want to. And also the sad part about this is that it will not come into effect until September of 2012, or 12, right?
At least, yeah, that's...
Okay, so here we go. That'll be after the supervisor's election.
Yes.
Let's move
that's,
on.
We'll move on that item, I think, sufficiently covered. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Brindler. We made it work anyway. Let's see. San Luis Council of Governments. I do have a couple of brief. I'm just going to bring up one item that we could also do by consensus. There's a project we've wanted to work on Highway 41 to see that pathway completed, really from the Alps property on into our Veterans Memorial. We kind of bottleneck right there at Portola and 41. There's some easement access issues with Caltrans. They have in the master plan, of course, easements for up to 5 lanes, adding 2 more lanes. I don't see us ever adding 2 more lanes to Morro Bay from Atascadero. E.G. Lewis barely pulled off what we had. And I think it's been brought up at SLOCOG, a possibility that the Caltrans could abandon some of that right away, say between certainly San Gabriel and Portola, and maybe further, that it would allow better use of bike paths and or walking paths. And what I'm asking for is consensus to ask staff to follow up with Caltrans or SLOCOG has some planning funds available, so it would not cost the city any funds, but we could pursue that as an option. And this has been done in other cities, including Paso and San Luis. So it would not obligate anyone other than looking at a feasibility study that that SLOCOG could fund if we request. Thank you, Councilman Clay. Go ahead.
You know, being here for, 70-some years, I'm not too sure there wouldn't be 5 lanes there. Who knows? Seeing a lot of changes. And what I would rather see is maybe some type of an easement, you understand where I'm coming from, rather than an abandonment, because I think that would serve the purpose and could go on for several years. Who knows, maybe 20 years before they have to do something like that. But
yes,
I would not be in favor of them.
All that.
Let's hear comments from Councilwoman Fonzie, and we'll give it to staff. You may have similar.
I just wanted to be sure that this is only Caltrans easement or right-of-way.
Yes.
It is not over private property or taking.
Correct.
Or any other.
Correct.
Eminent
yeah.
domain issue.
Yeah, it would not affect private property. The Caltrans right-of-way extends quite a distance away from the
right.
center line.
Right, and I know this may be premature, but someone's going to have to maintain those paths. Is that going to be a portion of this, or that will come before us at a later date? If
that would, and that those are all good questions. Maybe to defer to staff here. If you have any others, we'll just throw them out for them.
That should do it.
Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman Clay.
As the representative of SLOCOG, could you not just bypass staff and make the request there without getting staff involved?
Well, I think it's a hopefully a fairly simple process. SLOCOG staff would do a lot of the work, but it has to be a formal application from our city. Mr. City Manager.
A couple of questions I can clear up. But we evaluate and pursue most every COG funding application, so as the mayor brought this up to us earlier, we'll look in to see if this is a good opportunity for us. We have already committed to the maintenance of those trails, so the trails is already something you're in. It is a Caltrans right-of-way issue, and Mr. DeCarli has indicated that there may be some opportunity for funding.
So do I have consensus from council to go forward with that? Okay. Well, sometimes it's just more work. I apologize for that. That I just mentioned with the Regional Transportation Authority, they did have the director resign for a better job some time ago, and so they are currently having a management committee assist with the management team there in their management. Something that they are considering is possibly combining management with SLOCOG, which is, I think, something to consider, and they're also considering recruitment. So as past president, and I work with the current president, Bruce Gibson, and the current vice president, Fred Strong, in giving some input on that, and that'll come to the Regional Transportation Authority Board at some future time. So that is it for my reports tonight. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Okay, very good. I will be going to an air pollution control district meeting. I don't know what the impacts of this will be upon the tourism in that area, upon the city revenues down in that area. It is a thorny issue. There are health concerns, of course, with breathing dust. So I'll keep you posted on that one. The City of Atascadero Design Review Committee met last week, and we discussed the look of a new lending facility that's going to be put right across the street from the Carlton Hotel. So if you drive past that, you'll notice that they're putting in some flower beds and doing some paint and improvements, and that building will look much better. That building will be just there for a year or two, possibly, and then turn into something else according to the lending association. But in the meantime, we'll have something that looks good. And also, this was regarding some apartments on Santa Isabel Avenue. And many of you who drive down that street know that there's some buildings there that have been built and then stopped the building. It was partially completed. They look like Pueblo style with a flat roof. And so the builder came in with some changes to the plans. They were approved by the Design Review Committee, and the Design Review Committee is seeming to work very well on an informal basis. The Design Review Committee will be meeting this Thursday. If any of you would like to go to the meeting, we meet at 3:30 in the room across the hall. I have not read my staff report yet. Warren, what is the subject matter?
It's some minor changes to Oak Grove 2, which is a subdivision on the north end of town that needs some architectural and fencing changes.
Thank you. And we do appreciate the public input on all of those subjects. The City Finance Committee has not met recently, so no report. I did go to a local agency formation commission meeting about a week ago, and the Atascadero Sphere of Influence was approved by LAFCO. And thank you, Warren, for going. You supported the city very well. Basically, our Sphere of Influence is the area that is seen as a growth area in the next 20 or so years for potential growth. Eagle Ranch was included within that Sphere of Influence, which opens the door to the possibility of annexation sometime in the future. It's been in our sphere for quite some time, however. We also considered Pismo Beach's sphere of influence, which is ongoing controversy, and if you see it on the news, you will understand the city is proposing to grow into Price Canyon, which is a long stretch from where they currently are. So it'll be interesting to watch that go forward. That's the end of my staff report.
I have a question for
Thank
Roberta,
you.
Or a statement.
Go ahead.
Roberta, when I was a young man, I worked on the Napoma Mesa, actually in the dairies there, helped Dr. Howe, and I believe...
...covered where it gives a district transportation update, and I found it interesting that our school routes are shrinking, our bus routes are shrinking, and they're doing school-to-school now, which is kind of interesting, because when I was a kid, I used to stand on the corner and be able to catch a bus, but now they're catching the buses at the specific schools, and they go from school to school. So it's a change from what I'm used to. They also talked about the revision to the plans for the high school. In looking at this, being able to renovate the high school and buildings and fields and parking, and there was a plan that was, I think it was just outstanding when it comes to more parking for students, when it came to being able to have a secure campus. Having agriculture back from the San Benito facility back onto the high school campus, kind of keep everything under all under one roof. So it was a very, very congenial, very nice design. And I think that as we go forward, there's going to be some exciting things happening up at the high school. And talking about the junior high, they're looking. There was talk of a. There was something about being decided by December. They talked about whether we're looking at either a junior high model or a middle school model. And I didn't write a good enough note down as to if that was a committee or if that was a group that was looking at that. But they're trying to decide the model exactly to use for the junior high, whether it be 6th, 7th, and 8th or 7th and 8th. So there are still a lot of questions about the junior high. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. So. We had a good discussion. It was very, very productive, and we are going to meet again after the first of the year. So we'll continue. By then, we'll have a little better idea about what exactly model they're looking for at the school, which gives them a better idea of what the properties they're looking at can do. So we're just we'll go forward with that. And my second report is I had the opportunity to attend the League of California Cities annual conference, September 21st through 23rd in San Francisco. Wade and Jim and Marcia and Brady and I were there, and it was quite an eye-opener for me because being on city council, I kept thinking that, yeah, well, we're in the same boat together and we kind of do the same thing. Well, wow, was I wrong? When it comes to the interaction and what our city staff does in a networking level on a day-to-day basis to keep us entwined and working with our neighbors and the regional and state level is just incredible. And I, as a councilman, was very impressed by the classes. There was a lot of seminars, everything from parliamentary things to roundabouts. I learned more about roundabouts. It was fascinating, all the things that we possibly need or could ever need when it comes to engineering services or garbage cans or you name it. I mean, it was quite an eye-opener for me. So I really realized that what we do together is actually we have very different roles, but it works very well. So I was thank you for taking good care of me while I was there, and thanks for the experience because that was quite an eye opener. And that's it for my reports.
Well, you're not done yet.
Oh,
question or two for you.
Okay.
So being up there from little old Atascadero, did you feel like no one knows who Atascadero is up there at the state level?
No. The very first class I was in, it was on, oh, my goodness.
Strong City.
They were talking about the Strong City, Strong State. And the example is the website, and there's our picture, Atascadero. And so there's the councils there on the front page, and they're talking about how this is working and how the cities are coming together, because strong cities really do make a strong state. And there was more inferences, and well, even in the roundabout seminar. We came up as a case study and just showing what they're talking about, what they want to do here and how it works and why they did this. So numerous times throughout the conference, yes, it was we're not a hole in the wall that nobody knows about. And actually, thank you for reminding me because there was actually one very important thing that I wanted to mention about when it came to the redevelopment. And this is what I was told at the conference. I'm not an attorney, so you can tell me, well, if he was wrong. But the comment was made by one of the speakers that When it comes to redevelopment, when the California Supreme Court accepted the case, they only do that when there is the preponderance that we are going to win. So if that's true, that's what he said. He said they would only accept it if there is that. Is that factual or?
Well, I don't want to contradict a colleague.
But have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I don't want to contradict a colleague, but I.
Oh, it was McKenzie. Yeah, McKenzie said it. The head guy, executive director.
I believe the standard is that the court will take it if it represents an important public interest matter. And I don't think we should read anything into the fact that they've taken this case that they're going to rule one way or the other.
Okay. Well, that was a comment he made, but I'm going to be excited anyway. So we have a very strong case from what I understand. And like I said, we are very well represented on a regional level, on a state level. Marcia, Wade, Jim.
City clerk?
No report.
City treasurer? City treasurer? City attorney?
No report.
I had down there was going to be an update, but maybe not.
No, we're good. That was leftover from last council meeting.
Okay.
Unfortunately, though, I have a couple items I want to tell you about.
Go ahead.
I normally don't have a report. First, I want to correct a couple of things from the Itasca News. I meant to do this earlier in my city management update when I talked about the City Hall project. There was an article last week, Financing City Hall, on front page of the Atascadero News. And it, while we tried to work with the reporter to present the information fairly, I think there's a couple of things that are pretty confusing or wrong in the article. Let me first point out that Governor Gray Davis was not the governor when the earthquake occurred. As most of you remember, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. And we created the T-shirts with the logo, "We Will Return," or "We'll Be Back."
I'll be back.
As a sort of a play on his Terminator movie. In addition, just so I clear up any confusion with respect to the tax increment financing and financing taxes in the redevelopment agency, our property taxes, if you live or own property in the redevelopment agency, you pay the same property tax you would pay if you're in the city. There isn't any difference in the amount of property tax. This this article haphazardly ventures to say it was 5 or 10%. We all, according to Prop 13, pay 1% of your assessed value or your value at sale for your property taxes, and it's allowed to increase or decrease. In the last several years, it's decreased because of the market. Where tax increment comes in is if you look at properties that are improved within the redevelopment agency. And so we've used the potential Walmart as an example, or if you look at Albertsons, it was an example. When we created the redevelopment agency, Albertsons was a series of vacant lots, and there was one older mobile home park and a couple of small businesses there that were removed and created the Albertsons Center. So initially, that whole area was appraised at under $1 million in property value, so they paid less than $100,000 in the 1% for all of us. Secondly, and I think Councilmember Clay is going to ask me a question.
You said it went to $8 million from $1 million, so really $7 million was
$7 million increase.
Increase, right. Yeah.
So that was our first real big benefit to the redevelopment agency back in the early.
Do you remember what the increase was on the purchase of the Walmart property? Because a lot of those properties were small, and they were like $75 a year and so on and so forth.
It was significant. I think we have, I looked at it maybe many months ago. I can't tell you how many months ago, Councilmember Clay, I looked at it. But we had already earned just on the new taxes that they're paying, not with any buildings on it, over $700,000 from the Walmart site for the new tax appraisals by their purchases. So it's clearly been a benefit to the redevelopment agency, those property purchases.
Thank you.
The second item I have, we're very proud of our new website. In fact, I think Councilmember Sturdivant heard a little bit about that as well in San Francisco. There's a variety of areas we really sparkle, and this was certainly a league conference where Atascadero was shown a lot. But our new website created by, I'm going to let Jim brag on Luke, but Jim is also, as you know, our director of technology, and we have a great new website.
Thank you, Wade. Hi, council members. We just wanted to show it to you really quick. Many of you may have already seen this. It's been online for about 3 weeks. You can see, I wanted to share a few quick things we were trying to do. Luke, are you in the back there? Luke, staffs are meeting every week. Luke, wave your hand. Luke put all of this together. He chaired two task forces on this. A site of this magnitude would typically cost the city $100,000. And our city, although tight as we are, he was able to pull this together on staff time and just a few thousand dollars in tools. And so it's a very fresh look. You can see the color palette kind of matches the hills that we have. We really tried to make it more accessible for our residents. And so we studied websites all over the state, really took the best from all of them. You have this area right up front, register for a class, reserve a park, apply for a permit, contact the city council. Those are the things residents most want, and so we put them right up front. So it's very accessible, very transparent. Another feature, you can see this, I want to. A lot of residents don't make a connection between what they want to do and what department serves them. They don't understand government structure, and they frankly shouldn't have to. They want to do something, and so you can see this directory, I want to apply for, contact, find, register, report, as well. And we hope it'll serve us for several years. But again, I wanted to recognize Luke Knight for all of his hard work. Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
That's the end of our reports.
Very good. Well, I was just going to comment. I, too, got a call from Atascadero News on that particular article and made some very positive comments, but unfortunately, those weren't included. But maybe next time. Thank you. So I think with no other reports, we are adjourned.